While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36, the living and active word of the Lord. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, I am, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We praise you for your clear word. And we praise you now for the scattering of the seed of your word. Grant us ears to hear, hearts, soils ready to receive. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word and enable us to see your Son and our Savior and to have changed lives. We pray this in his matchless name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is a gripping narrative, and it is filled with the miraculous. It is miraculous at the beginning of the passage we just read with the water walking of Jesus and Peter. It's miraculous at the beginning. It's miraculous in the middle of this passage with the saving or the rescuing of his own Jesus joining his disciples in the boat and the wind ceasing and the confession, "You are the Son of God," and the worship of Jesus. It's miraculous in the middle of the passage. The end of the passage is miraculous as well, with people simply touching the hem or the fringe of Jesus' garment and being made well. This is a miraculous passage, beginning, middle, and end. But in these events, we will see the most wondrous miracle of all, the miracle of the presence of the Lord. So our sermon today is titled, Water Walking, Worship, and Being Made Well. Both Matthew and John, these two Gospels, present the feeding of the 5,000 plus, and then they go right into this account of the nighttime and morning events of the storm-tossed boat, and Matthew records the walking of Jesus on the water and the brief stint of Simon Peter as well. How is this possible? What is going on here? So many people come to this passage and they go, that seems impossible. How is that possible? What's going on? We must, first of all, back up facing questions like that and admit we, too, ask questions like that. How are such things possible? We ask that about things that surround us to this day. How is that possible? There is so much in this world that I do not understand. Perhaps what Agur said in Proverbs 30, "I am more stupid than any man." That doesn't mean I don't know some things, but I don't know everything. John Calvin called it learned ignorance. I love these words of Agur in Proverbs 30. There is so much that we don't know. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. And then Agur tells the truth that we all experience. The way of an eagle in the air, I don't get that. The way of a serpent on a rock, wow. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin, wondrous indeed. Up there, down there on the rocks, out there on the sea, and with what goes on in the hearts of one another. Some have suggested all kinds of things. There must have been some kind of suspension of gravity at that time. Some have suggested that maybe there was a moment of weightlessness. In a fairly recent article, it was proposed that what really happened was that Jesus actually walked on a mound of stones, and that it only appeared as if he was walking on the water. One of the theories is that the stones, this mound of stones, have provided a platform for one of Jesus' miracles out in a stormy sea where he walked on water and was able to save his disciples. If that's the case, then this passage contains a wondrous miracle indeed. If it's the case that Jesus walked on a mound of stones that somehow slid into the sea in 3 BC, then there's this wondrous miracle of how a group of seasoned fishermen who lived and worked on the Sea of Galilee didn't know about that mound of stones. There's another miracle in this as well. How did Simon Peter, a seasoned salt of the sea, not know that Jesus was walking on that particular mound of stones? And why did he not stay on the mound of stones himself? There's something else going on here. But such suggestions remind me of something that happened way back a number of years ago during discussions of the Bible and theology and the miraculous. These discussions occurred while I was in seminary. The discussion occurred the deliverance from Egypt, the Exodus, our Lord's rescue of the people, of his people. And we know that the Lord delivered them from Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea, and there Pharaoh's army tracked after them. And some people concluded, that's impossible. That cannot be done. And therefore the suggestion was made that it was really not the Red Sea, but rather the Sea of Reeds, a marshy region. Depending on the season, it may be just moist and soggy. It may have a few inches of water or up to 18 inches of water. And that's how Israel made it through. And so those who say such things are impossible for the Red Sea to part, they then say, well, Pharaoh's army, the Egyptian army, chose to not follow them through the marshy area because their chariots and their war machine would have bogged down. But in that as well, I remember the discussions in seminary, somebody piped up, some wit said, well, then there's a greater miracle in that as well, because how did the entire Egyptian army drowned in a few inches of water? Jesus is walking on the water is one of the most amazing miracles recorded in the Gospels. It is most certainly a display of Jesus' divinity, his deity, that he is God in the flesh. This water walking displays Jesus' power over creation. And as creator of all things, all things are his servants, and they are under his control. Here, he walks upon them, and this includes water. Jesus, in our passage, is even pleased to allow one of his servants a brief stint on the sea. What we are seeing here is the presence of God right before us. From Job chapter 9, verse 8, we know of the one true God. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. From Psalm 77, recounting the wondrous works of the Lord. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. What we have here is Jesus being seen as the one true God. This walking on water was not something that the disciples later on considered to be part of their ministry. When somebody said, "Tell us about your ministry," they didn't say, "Well, we preach the gospel, we heal the sick, and we walk on water." They didn't say that. When Paul and his companions were shipwrecked just outside of the island of Malta, Acts 27:28, Paul did not think that walking on water was even possible, much less did he even suggest it. What we could do here in this storm is go walk on water. One critic named Taylor dismissed this miracle, contending that it's really not much of a miracle, it's really more of a spectacle. There's something else going on here. The miracle of the water walking is the wonder, the miraculous wonder of the presence of God. Jesus himself says, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And the Greek is ego, I me. Be of good cheer, I am. Our passage is marked by departures, by fears, and that which causes wonder. And to understand this, we must see this as a passage about the presence of the Lord. Departures, fears, and wonders. Follow with me, if you will, in our passage today, beginning in verse 22 as we walk through this passage. Jesus has just provided for approximately 10,000. They have eaten. And what does he do? The departures begin. He calls for the departure of his disciples. It's time for you to go. Also in verse 22, he calls for the departure of the multitudes, the great crowds that have gathered. After the disciples leave, Jesus then starts this departure of the multitude. So, disciples, you may go. While they're on their way, he says to the great crowds who just were just fed, it's time for you to go. Then there's another departure. We see it in verse 23. Jesus departed from that place. The passage is marked by departures, and we want to know about presence. We will not find out about the presence until we find the I am in the middle of the passage. Verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Departures. Back to the disciples. Verse 24, they are quite a ways from the land. The Bible says they are in the middle of the sea, and the waves and the wind were beating against them. Many of these disciples are seasoned men of the sea. They are seasoned men of the water, and they are straining in the water. The boat resembles a cork being tossed by the waves. The men's spirits likely up and down, and yet there's much work to be done, and they press on. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night. This is a way of counting according to the area and the governing powers. There were four watches of the night. The first watch was from 9 p.m. till about midnight. And then from 6 to 9 was the first watch. And then from 9 p.m. until about midnight was the second watch. The third watch was from what we would call midnight, 12, till about 3 in the morning. The fourth watch would have been 3 in the morning till 6 in the morning. We do not know how long the disciples had been straining, working, laboring on the sea. Verse 25 tells us in the fourth watch of the night. Could it have been 6 hours? Could it have been 8 hours? Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Verse 26, the disciples see Jesus walking on the sea, and they were troubled with fear, and this makes sense. This is understandable. It's not just because of the walking on the water, but also they were troubled with fear because of another departure, a recent departure as well. Jesus caused the disciples to depart, the crowds to depart. Jesus departed that place. Consider this. The disciples were alone in the boat. They had left Jesus alone. They followed his command. We will leave you alone. And they had been straining in the storm, and then they see what? An image? An apparition? A specter? For all they knew, Jesus too, like John the Baptist, has been killed. They are now seeing his ghost. The Greek word is phantasma, where we get the word phantom. It wasn't spirit, pneuma. It's a particular Greek word. They're seeing his phantom, a phantasma. They're seeing his ghost. They too think that Jesus has departed from them. Little did they know that this was his presence. Verse 27, Jesus calms their fears. And isn't this wonderful? He calms their fears with his word. We are a fear-filled people at times. Sometimes we're agitated overnight. And we need the Lord's word. Verse 27, Jesus immediately calms their fears by speaking to them. Be of good cheer. Take courage. It is I am. Ego, I me. Do not be afraid. But now, thus says the Lord from Isaiah 43, the Lord who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. Just like us, there seems to be some lingering doubt. This is impossible. I have never seen such a thing before. There's some lingering doubt as well as some ready amazement, particularly by one of the disciples. Verse 28, Peter, Lord, if it is you, give me the word. Say the word. Command me to come to you in the water. Verse 29, our Lord says, come. Realize the entire time, we don't have the soundtrack of this passage. The waves and the wind are still raging and howling. The sound would have been deafening. Come. Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Then, just like us, Peter did what one of us would have done. He looked around. And what did he see? He saw the wind. How do you see the wind? You see the effects of the wind. You see what the wind is doing. And each one of us is instructed here, when we're coming to Jesus, we have this tendency to look around and to take our eyes off Christ. He saw the wind and he was afraid. And he began to sink. Peter, the rock, began to sink like a rock. And when he began to sink, he did what he should do. He called out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Pardon me. Immediately. Just as the fear was calmed by the words of Christ, now Peter's soon death, his absorption into the water, into the sea, immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and caught hold of Peter and spoke to him. One hand. In some words, there's no statement of them getting into the boat first. They're upon the water, one, and in the water, the other. Lord, save me. One hand goes out and takes Peter. Is there a grasp? Is there a grip? Is there a holding? Is there a pulling? We don't know. One hand went forward. And then the Lord speaks to Peter. Note the noise of the wind and the waves still going on. The Lord speaks to Peter. Speaks to the bold one, the one who tried, the one who went out there, who gave it a shot and said, Lord, I want to come to you. And the Lord speaks to him, O you of little faith, Why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt? It's a gentle rebuke. It's a word of the Lord after the rescue of the Lord. The Lord rescues and then speaks. Verse 32, they get into the boat and then the wind ceases. Shh. So as you're reading this passage, you could almost read it in that way. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat then worshiped Jesus. They confessed. They used the words that were uttered at the baptism. This is the Son of God. They used the words of the challenge of the tempter, if you are the Son of God. They are using the words that we shall hear at the transfiguration, this is my beloved Son. They used the words that the centurion used at the crucifixion, truly this was the Son of God. Verse 34, they make it to the land. Calm. They make it to the land in the last two verses of our passage. Jesus, when they get to the land, Jesus is recognized and word of Jesus' arrival gets out and more waves occur. Now waves of people. Some hobbling, some brought, some carried. They brought the sick. And they asked, "Can we just touch the edge of your garment?" Jesus allowed it, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. There's our passage today. Water walking, worship, and being made well. And what is this? Our gospel is on display. Our gospel is on display. Consider with me, if you will. From the beginning to the end of this passage, we see the wonder of Christ's presence. At the beginning, with the water walking, we see the wonder of Christ's presence to rescue. Jesus did the impossible to save. Jesus did the impossible to save. We see our gospel on display. Amidst, in that passage, the rage of the waves and the roar of the wind and the approaching inevitable death, when there was no hope in themselves and for us, when there's no hope in ourselves, when there's no possibility of rescue, Jesus arrives. He comes to his own and saves. Our gospel is on display. The wonder of Christ's presence to rescue. His power is displayed over all. What can separate us from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus? What about the water? What about the waves? No. Jump to the end of this passage. Jesus makes others well. So we go from the water walking all the way to the end to making people well. And what do we see? We see the wonder of Christ's presence to restore. Our gospel is on display. This two is impossible. What do you mean? Just a little bit of the fabric of Christ's garments. I don't get that. You're seeing our gospel at work. We cannot in ourselves be made well. We need the mercies of the great physician. And it is no wonder that these healings occur in the most miraculous of ways by just the hem, the fringe of his garment being touched. And if he can restore with just that, how much more when he gives us himself? By the way, this is still the case with our ongoing daily forgiveness, your ongoing daily need of forgiveness. It's impossible. And it's accomplished in the most wondrous and impossible of ways. Christ was appointed for you. The Holy Spirit is given for you. And you cry out and you are restored. Water walking at the beginning, being made well at the end. And what's the center of the passage? The very middle of the passage is the wonder of worship. our welcome into the presence of the Lord. So this passage displays our gospel, the presence and the power of our Lord to rescue, to receive, and to restore. So, to those critics who question this miracle, thinking that it was merely a spectacle, and I think that word is stuck in their minds because they think it's just a specter. They think that perhaps this is an odd miracle. It's just a bit of showing off. What's the point, they might ask? It is about the wonder of Christ's presence, the presence of the Lord. When death is present and threatening, when opposition and trials seem to be insurmountable, when there is no personal or earthly help, it's impossible. Our Lord's presence is made known. Do note, it is no wonder that there was a previous water rescue in the Bible. That also was impossible. It was an impossible rescue then. It was the Exodus from Egypt, a deliverance of wonder. The Lord arrived, and it was a rescue which occurred when? According to Exodus 14:24, that deliverance occurred during the morning watch. The great I Am was present then. The great I Am is present then. And the great I Am is present now. Christ comes to His own amidst their doubts and their fears, and He rescues and receives and restores. So let us end. The feeding of the 5,000 plus and the water walking. What happened at the end of the feeding of the 5,000 plus? Jesus had His disciples collect the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets full. Why 12? Why was that even mentioned? The Gospels want us to see that our Lord has formed a new 12, and this through His disciples. Then at that miracle of the feeding of the multitudes, our Lord gave His disciples the unexpected and the impossible, wondrous bread. Gather it. You are mine. Now, in this miracle of the water walking, what does our Lord do? He gives us the wonder of His presence. Let me conclude with the wonderful words on this by Pastor John Piper. And with this, we conclude. This time, He doesn't give them 12 baskets of miracle bread. He gives them the miracle of His presence when they thought there is no way He could be here. I will not just give you bread, I will be your bread. I don't just give bread, I am bread. I don't just make the wind stop, I get into the boat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, the great I Am. And we give you thanks for your presence, for your power, and for your provision. And now, Lord, as we go to your table, feed us with the food allotted to us and grow us in gratitude. And may our eyes be fixed upon your Son and our Savior, for we ask this in His matchless name. Amen.